Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
What is God's attitude? Does anyone actually know? You can sense attitudes in others just by being around them. The same is true when you spend time with God. You sense His attitude, particularly if you are familiar with His Word. Additionally, you sense God's attitude about you, particularly if you believe His Word. The best way to know God's attitude about anything is to be in His Word and to spend time with Him as a friend. First action point for us today. Let's look at an unusual exclamation. By no means! Exclamation point. If you were to say this, your intention would be clear. Absolutely not. Forget it. Don't even think about it. By no means. Well, did you know that that is a direct quote from Scripture? By no means. Let's explore where it's found and what instruction and encouragement God has for including it. You know, Scripture rarely uses an exclamation point. Interestingly, it uses one in this very expression. Remarkably, this one little phrase is used four times. Romans 11 verse 1, Romans 6 15, Romans 6 1 and 2, and Romans 7 13. Frankly, to know Scripture rarely uses an exclamation point, but to find these four verses exactly the same with an exclamation point, well, it's something to investigate. So, who uses this comment and why? This little phrase is used by Paul. Interestingly, he asks, then answers several questions with, by no means, every time there is an exclamation point. Here are the questions he asks. First, did God reject His people? Second, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Third, shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? And number four, did the law, which is good, then become death to us? You know, those are really good questions. His answer is always the same. By no means! Exclamation point. Have you considered one of the most important aspects of God's attitude is in reference to you, actually towards all humanity? Have you considered the design God used when He created people, made in His image, to care about making a difference, to want your lives to matter? Interestingly, individuals value that they are important to someone, valued, loved, purposeful, and meaningful. God purposefully created people with these inner desires. Plus, He made you with needs that He intends to meet. Remarkably, He intends you to partner with Him in His work in this broken world. Well, so far, that's a good look at God's attitude. But now we need to talk about valuable assets. To accomplish His purposes, God gave you a unique life with valuable assets. Here's a good list. You could probably add more. Personhood, looks, skill sets, abilities, dreams, and pursuits. God wants you to value and love Him back. So now we need to talk about your attitude about God. Incidentally, this is not because God has needs that He wants you to love Him back. It's because He knows that He is the best thing for you. He knows He completes you. He designed you. And He loves you with everlasting love. And one more thing, God wants you to accomplish your life purpose. God says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. If there is any rejecting going on, it's people rejecting God or people rejecting people. Regardless, God loves, wants, and invites you into intimate relationship with Himself. Okay, we're going to pause for just a minute here and look at some good questions. I really like good questions because they help to identify things. Additionally, they help define things. Also, they challenge you to ponder important points. Plus, they give you a starting point from which to make good choices. And finally, they usually precede good choices. So, some examples of good questions. Often it's not answers that make a difference. Rather, it's good questions. They have helped me for decades. Since we're talking about God's attitude and humanity, here are examples of good questions. First one, do you believe God is exactly who He claims? Second, as you live your life, or you've been hurt or disappointed, perhaps you've at times run amok, maybe you're tired or even disillusioned, have you stuck with God and His promises, or have you walked away? Third question, how do you respond to God's love as you navigate hard stuff? And do you embrace it as a safe canopy over you, His love? Number four, have you ever blamed God? Five, do you wonder if He might have forgotten details about your well-being? And number six, perhaps you have concluded that God operates from a distance. As you answer questions like these, note how they define your conclusions about God's attitude. Well, we're going to talk now about an Old Testament man. And this Old Testament man has a great word about God's attitude. Jeremiah strongly says about God, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah is pointing out God's attitude about you. Definitively, he's documenting how deeply God loves you. So that's a look at some things through an Old Testament man. Now, let's look at a New Testament man. Let's look at Paul's action points about how to respond to God's attitude of love. Writing to Timothy, he says, don't let anyone look down on you. 1 Timothy 4:12. Then he adds action points to respond to God's love. So let's go through those action points right now. First of all, set an example with your speech. Next, make your life choices with highest conviction. After that, communicate God's attitude of love for all people. Then, maintain your faith in Jesus Christ. Following that, guard and protect your purity. Next one, be diligent to stay in God's word. Next one, give yourself wholly to God. Then, let others see your life in action. And then, remember, your conduct affects yourself and others who need an example. After that, develop gifts and skill sets that are given to you. And then finally, keep your head in all situations. I love that verse. All of those action points to respond to God's love come from 1 Timothy 4:12 through 16 and 2 Timothy 4:5. What a list of practical positive action points that you absolutely can carry out. Every single one of those is in your control. God's attitude is serious. God has chosen you, not rejected or forgotten you. So, refuse to think that you are not important to God. Simultaneously, refuse the idea that He's distant from you, because He's not. Remarkably, you are reserved for God. Truly, you are in His heart. This is not because of anything you've done. It's by God's grace alone. First, let's explore grace as defined in most dictionaries. Here we go. Favor or goodwill. Granting favor, especially by a superior. Freely given, unmerited favor and love from God. God operating in humans to transform them. And a virtue or excellence coming from divine origin. Incidentally, grace is not earned or deserved. Rather, it's a gift that can't be repaid. Nevertheless, there is a moral responsibility to receiving grace, frankly, to make decisions that align with Scripture from a thankful heart. So, we talked about some of the definitions from dictionaries, and then we applied many of them. In fact, the dictionaries even applied grace to God in several instances. But now let's go on to look at how grace can be abused. That's right, God's grace. In fact, it can be treated with such disrespect that an onlooker could conclude, grace isn't real. Contrastingly, grace received from the heart quite literally changes people. Interestingly, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and the grace he offers simply means you won't walk away empty-handed if you receive his grace with all your heart. Remarkably, God offers grace in exchange for confession. That means you admit that you've been wrong. The next thing is in exchange for being sorry, which means you show remorse. He offers his grace in exchange for repentance, which means that you turn and go the opposite direction. God offers his grace also in exchange for receiving forgiveness and grace with thanksgiving. And the final thing that he offers grace in exchange for is transformation, which means that you bring every thought, word, and behavior into alignment with Scripture. God's grace changes people, communities, nations, and the world. At the same time, God's grace can be abused, ignored, and denied. Well, let's talk about how to respond to God's attitude. Remember, we began this material with God's attitude, plus we looked at your and my attitude and what it should be to God. Further, we identified questions that Paul asked. So now, let's start answering them. First question, did God reject his people? Of course not. Or as Paul says it, by no means! Exclamation point. God is committed to his people, to you. The second question was, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Never! What a crazy interpretation of grace. Again, as Paul said, by no means! Exclamation point. Now the third question. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Don't even think about it. After all, how can you make something perfect increase? Or as Paul replied yet again, by no means! Exclamation point. The fourth question, did the law, which is good, then become death to me? No way. God used the law to show our desperate condition, essentially the need for Jesus. So the law isn't condemnation or death, or as Paul said it, by no means! Exclamation point. It brings hope. Okay, we want to just spend a minute looking at a sober warning. Since it's possible to abuse God's grace, it's critical to be sober or serious in dealings with him. That doesn't mean you won't have joyful friendship with him. Rather, it means you'll respond to him with gratitude for his attitude towards you. Plus, you'll express desire to love and serve him. To abuse grace is, well, to say it like Paul did, by no means! Exclamation point. Interestingly, God will deal with those who abuse his grace. Application thoughts and questions. Number one, do you wonder what God's attitude is toward you? Number two, concerning grace, do you see transformation in your life? 3. What happens if you walk away from grace? 4. Have you responded with these action points to God's grace? Remember the ones we went over, the 5, and then there was something that you needed to do after each one of them? Confession, being sorry, repentance, receiving, transformation. Question number 5, what has the phrase "by no means!" exclamation point meant in your life? And number 6, do you know the joy of the Lord because you've discovered God's attitude towards you? Portions of this content come from my book, It's Your Move. It's a devotional book that takes you through Romans and powerfully challenges you to live with perspective and purpose. You can find this book in our bookstore, www.aliveandactivelife.org/store. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.